Today I have Shane Nouvel. He is a senior developer on the Xamarin Forms team for the past couple of years and is principally responsible for Shell. Is that right, Shane?
Yep, that's correct. Among a few other things, but Shell's definitely one of my main tasks.
Great, because that's what I'd really like to focus on tonight.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Maybe you could tell us the elevator speech for what Shell is and what the motivation was for creating it.
Yeah, definitely. So the motivation for Shell was to create basically a simplified single starting point for your application that would let you realize any sort of design you wanted to, or any sort of, say, navigation structure you wanted to be able to articulate. So, because like when you first go into Forms pre-shell, you're kind of confronted with these a lot of different page constructs like master details, tabbed, navigation page, etc. And it's a little tricky to know kind of how those things work, kind of how they tie together, especially once you start getting into navigation with requiring things to be wrapped as a navigation page and things like that. So a lot of it had to do with trying to simplify, especially for new developers coming in, what the experience would be like. So the ideal situation there is they can just start with shell, one concept, and then at that point it can just do whatever they need it to do, if that makes sense.
That makes good sense. When you say targeting it at new developers, I definitely see that, but I also see a lot of benefit for experienced Xamarin Forms developers in the sense that it simplifies a lot of the work of navigation and setting up menus and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely supposed to kind of delight everyone. And especially people starting up, you know, seasoned developers starting up new projects, or even people who want to move over to Shell. So a lot of the things we've heard, a lot of good feedback with, especially the navigation, being able to easily use like the URI navigation to get to different areas on the shell, which is really helpful, because that's one thing we saw a lot with non-shell forms is it's a little hard for people to understand how to tie their application together, like how to get from one part of your master details to your other part, because they would just have to sort of navigate and then switch out the page. Most people would build sort of like navigation wrappers around things to kind of abstract the relationships between the two, but shell really just gives you this cohesive structure and then an easy way to kind of navigate everywhere. So it's also to increase the flexibility for existing developers, and then make it more delightful for new ones.
Am I right that with Shell, it's fairly easy to move from view model to view model?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. So some of that stuff we're working on to make a little bit more fluent, but that's one of those things where you can still kind of create a simplified layer on shell to kind of move between your view models. Because in the end, everything, all your routes are just, you know, strings to kind of indicate where you want to go. So, you know, you could name all your routes, say, after your view models, and then use that to sort of create or grab any of those that you want with your navigation. So it makes kind of implementing a layer of view model navigation easier. It doesn't have it as, say, a first class citizen, but it definitely simplifies the ability to declaratively get where you want to go.
But I can be sitting in a view model and decide I want to go to page A.
Okay.
And even if I go to the view, I can do that direct from the view model.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I took your question in a different direction. it does. So that's definitely one of those cases where you get people on each side of the fence on whether they like that or not, since you're just accessing it through like a static accessor. But yeah, that's definitely one of the areas, especially simplifying for new developers, and then just kind of removing the friction a little bit, because from your view model, you can just articulate the URI you want to go to within the application. So it lets you tie together the structure and then where you want to go much more easily. Whereas kind of translating in other terms, like with master details page or tab page and those, articulating that from the view model was always a little bit tricky. It always kind of required converters or like a translation layer or similar.
Okay, let me telegraph to you where I want to go this evening. I definitely want to talk to you about page registration and navigation. I'd also like to talk to you about using Shell on legacy application. But let me begin by saying that the documentation is excellent, but it's introductory. There isn't a lot of more advanced documentation. Is that coming anytime soon?
There's not.
Or am I missing some?
No, there's not an active plan for it. So some of the things that are coming. So if you kind of want more immersive experiences with Shell, I would say take a look at Zaminals. Zaminals? Am I saying that right? Yeah, Zaminals on our form samples, because that one is a full Shell application that also uses Collection View. So that has a lot of idea. That has a lot of the ideas of registering, moving around, pushing pages on. And then Ort now has a few samples on his repository. There's his Zappy sample, gastropods, and then he has a Shell login sample to kind of give a scenario of creating a more advanced login sample. I realize those are kind of random sources and not really like a central source of truth, but yeah, there's nothing right now in the official docs, I would say, that kind of that point you out to those things. But it is one of the areas we're trying to improve with the Shell thing. So one of the things that will kind of help spur that is that we have kind of a more involved Shell template in the works that we're now able to complete because of the modal aspects that we just added into Shell. So basically, we're converting the Shell template over to a more raw MDVM style, which will give a lot more indications of kind of how things tie together in more advanced scenarios.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. That'll help a lot. Let me ask you, let's focus for a moment in terms of navigation. And there are a few different parts that I'm sure hang together, but for me are still a little fuzzy. And one is, let's say I'm building a flyout menu. So I need, if I'm correct, I need to register the pages that flyout menu is going to allow me to navigate to. Is that correct so far?
May expand on what you mean by register.
Ah, well, there's the rub. I from what I can see from the documentation, there's a registration process. And one of the things I was going to ask you about is which pages need to be registered. Is it just from the flyout? Is it every content page? How does that work?
Okay, so the register, the global routes register idea is basically registering any pages that aren't part of the structure. So for example, when you're creating your shell layout, say your app shell, you'll have your list of flyout items, you'll have your tabs, and that represents sort of your structure. And then your registration parts are pages that aren't, say, part of that structure. So for example, if you have a page that's like a list of animals, so kind of taking the Zaminals example, and you click on one of the animals, and then that navigates you to a details page about that animal. The detail page isn't, it's not part of your shell structure. Yeah, so the idea here is if you have, like, let's say you have tabs with different animals on them. So you would have, that would be part of your shell. So your shell would describe different tabs to say like your cat tab, your dog tab, your bear tab. And then in those, it would have like a list of the animals. And then when you click on the animal, that navigates you to a details page. That details page isn't really part of your shell structure. You know, it's not like a tab. It's not a flyout. It has no really sort of structural meaning. It's just something you navigate to. So that details page is what you're registering globally. So those are pages that you can push to from anywhere in Shell. So to give sort of a pre-shell comparison, it's like in previous forms, when you would do navigation.pushAsync new content page, that's the same idea that that's being implied right there, is that you register these global routes that connects this sort of page type to a route. And then that lets you now from your view model say, you know, go to async details with the following query string. And then now that details has been registered against, you know, cat details, it'll instantiate up a cat details and pass in your query string. So it's a way to kind of create a connect. The routes are the way to create sort of a loose connection from your content pages that maybe don't fit in the structure to your to your routes that you want to go to.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple questions about that then. Let's say you go to the bare detail page. Do you still have the hamburger menu so you can get back, or do you have a back button? What do you have?
Right now you have a back button. We have some specs and issues we're working on to make the hamburger button more permanent, so that you could just have the hamburger on every page. Right now, the hamburger is only visible on your first page, and then after that, it's just a back button.
Okay. And when are we going to see that hamburger everywhere? Because that I desperately need.
Yeah. Let's see. That's a hard one to say. Right now, we're sort of organizing our priority items. The spec for kind of putting that together, I need to still kind of put together how we want that to work. Because right now we have like a back button behavior, which you can use to sort of articulate the back button. So we need to rework that API a little bit. And in that same work, we're going to do the hamburger stuff. So yeah, I don't know. That one's a little tricky. I have to see how it times in with our other, but it is definitely one people have really wanted. So right now we're putting together our kind of high priority list. So that was the link that I had sent you. We have a project board for shell stuff.
Yeah, so we'll put that on the show page.
Awesome. Yeah. And so that has kind of the high priority blockers that we're working on for our next kind of 4.7 area. Yeah. And so if there's things in there that people really want to see, like, for example, the hamburger one, which we have gotten a few requests for. So I have that one sort of, I have some effort there scheduled to kind of spike it out a little bit just to see if that's going to be something, how we kind of want to put that together. But yeah. I'm not exactly sure when. That would be a nice thing to get in 4.7, but that might be a 4.8 thing.
So. Yes. Okay. So let's go back to the little story we were telling. I'm on the flyout.
Okay.
And I've got a section called animals and a section called, I don't know, cars. I can do that by grouping.
Yes.
And then under animals, I've got cat, dog, bear, and I click on bear and that takes me to the bear details. Now I assume from that details page, I can have links or buttons that are going to take me further in to the application. Even though I'm not using the menu at this time, I can continue to link my way through to other pages.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Correct. So that's where the global routes come into play. So those are ones as you're deep linking into pages. Any of those pages just sort of have to have some sort of string registered to them in your global routes, and then that kind of just lets you navigate to them deeper.
Now I thought I remember reading that I didn't necessarily have to have a backstack, that I could go from a given page that's four levels deep right back to any other page I want. Is that correct, or that's not in place yet?
Expand, ask that again.
Sure. Let's say I'm again on the flyout.
Okay.
And I choose bears and I go to bear details. And from there I go to bear habitats. And from there I go to reading about jungles. And now I want the back button to take me back to the bear details. I'm making this up as I go along. I thought I read that I don't have to back through each page, that I could, using a URI, I could just jump to the page I want to go to.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so there's ways to do that currently. We're kind of looking at different ways to make it a little more, to say expose something friendlier, like say, you know, go back two pages or something like that. But the URIs themselves are intelligent as far as figuring out what you want to do. So let's say in your sample, you've indicated that your first route, which has bare details, is just called bare details. And then your next page is like bare, nesting. And then the next one is like bare habitat. So at this point, your URI is basically, bare details / bare nesting / bare habitat. So now if you want to go back to the bare details, you can just tell it like go to async and give it the bare details. So you give it like an absolute URI. So you just would say like go to async // bare details. And then at that point, it'll see, oh, okay, this is where I already am. And it'll just pop those other two pages off the stack and take you directly to bare details.
So that's great.
Yeah. So that's a way to do it through the URI stuff. And then if you wanted to kind of do that same thing with the back button, there's a back button behavior where you can basically bind a, you can bind a view model command, so like a command to the back button. So then at that point, whenever the user clicks the back button, it will basically just skip any logic that we have for it. And that back button will just fire a command inside your view model. So you could just replace the behavior of the back button. So if you're on that third one and they click it, you could tell it, oh, okay, well, I want this to go back twice instead of just go back the one time. So you can replace that back button, the behavior, the icon, the text, and then that's sort of adding a few more features to that is what we also want to include, sort of like you were saying in the flyout, with the flyout one as well. So being able to tell the flyout, hey, flyout, I want you always visible, and then also possibly tying a command to it and things like that. So basically mapping all the same behaviors we have with back button over to the hamburger button as well, so that you can do that. Because there's definitely, we've had a lot of requests for that. So that's that's definitely one that's in our sites.
And I'm sure you're getting a lot of requests for UWP as well.
Yeah, we do. We're starting to get some issues logged with that. That's another one. So if you look at that same board link, I've created a UWP blockers list that we've also outlined with what we see is what's kind of blocking the current UWP implementation for being full featured. Dot Morton got us really far into that, and now we just kind of need to tie up some of those loose ends. So we just built out a project board for those loose ends, and then that as well is going to be worked on. So hopefully, we're hoping for that one to also be part of, to have a much more, whether it's going to be out of experimental by 4.7 is hard to say, but we're definitely have work scheduled for it for 4.7. So, and any of the items that are on those project boards, if anybody wants to work on those, just ping me on Twitter or whatever, and I'll help you get started on it.
Is all of this open source as well?
Yeah, it's all on there, and the base implementation is all checked in and part of the repository at this point. So there's just a few key features not working. Main thing right now is some of the navigation stuff is broken, and then some of the layout customization is broken. And then we sort of just need to kind of vet the overall design philosophy on UWP a little bit. But there's definitely a lot of interest right now, externally and internally, to get that done. So we're going to be working on that one.
Okay. Before we talk about legacy apps, which I do want to talk to you about, a typical flyout route says, and I have this written down in front of me, shell content, and then content template equal, and then data template, pages, colon, and then the name of the page. And I'm wondering if you could break that down for me about, for example, why does it have content template and why does it have data template and so forth? Can you just break that whole statement down?
Yeah, definitely. So that's essentially the content, the raw content that you want displayed. So once you kind of drill down to say from a flyout down to your tab bar, down to your tab, you say, okay, well, on this tab, what's the shell content I want showing? And then shell content then sort of gives this loose mapping from the content you want to display and then what the content page is going to be. So the idea there as well is that it gives you more of like a lazy hookup for the content. So that's kind of the idea of the content template, is because if you have a shell with like, you know, 400 content templates, shell contents, we don't want to new up 400 pages when your application is starting. So the content template gives a hook to just say, this is the page that's going to be visible for this area. And then once that area is asking for content, then it gets created and rendered out. So it's very much just kind of an organization and performance thing. So because like in theory, you can in theory, shell content takes a content or a content template. So you could even in the shell content just specify a content page directly in there. But for performance reasons, that's not going to be the best as your application grows, because it's going to create all of those at startup, whereas you want everything kind of creating on demand.
Right. And then data template in that statement is, if I understand it, there's a default data template, but I can go in and tweak or even replace that data template. Is that accurate?
It's just a data template. So it's really just saying, you know, this is a data template defined by this type. So like, yeah, the data template just has a constructor that takes a type. So that structure that you have there with the data template space and then like the pages colon homepage, that's basically just instantiating a data template with a homepage with the constructor that just takes a type in. It takes anything of data template format. So it's the same, anything that you can use, say, on a collection view for that data template or anything like that. Those are the same. That's the same kind of structure there.
Okay. All of the samples that I've seen, when you use a flyout, when you get to the page from the flyout, there are tabs on the bottom of the page. So if I'm in the flyout and I choose bears, then when I get to that first page of bears, there's a couple tabs on the bottom. Is that required, or is that just something that I'm seeing in the sample?
Yeah, it's kind of something you're seeing in the samples, and it's a little bit of just how the current APIs expose things. So the main APIs that you get when you're creating shell are at the highest level, either like a flyout item or a tab, like a tab bar. And then once you specify the flyout item, you can specify like the tabs you want in there. And that's mainly because right now tab is the only sort of grouping concept we have once you get into a flyout item. So you're just saying that, once I'm in this flyout item, these are the tabs that are going to show up for it. But you don't necessarily have to have the tabs visible. So for example, one thing you can do is you could, so for example, you can hide the tabs. You can set on the tab bar or the flyout item, you can basically say like shell dot, I think it's just tab bar is visible, and set that to false. And then at that point, all your tabs aren't going to show up. And then what you could do is you can tell it that you're, I'm just kind of looking over at the API real quick. But yeah, you can tell it that you want to, you can set your flyout display options to be as multiple items. And so then what that does is that causes all your tabs to now show up in your flyout. So the nice thing about that is now you can navigate to the different areas of the flyout just by a submenu in your flyout. So it just kind of lets you give different sort of arrangements of that. So if you don't want to show the tabs, you can still, you would just kind of hide the flyout thing. You would just say, hey, hide the tab bar on there, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me switch subjects on you, or mildly switch, and ask you about using shell with existing applications, legacy applications, and what's involved in that kind of migration. And I guess to start with, do you think that that's a reasonable thing to do?
That's one of those things that's really hard to answer. It's super dependent on the app, because especially with a lot of forms applications, once they get larger, there's a lot of things that become very tightly coupled to the way forms operates things. So for example, with all of forms, everything is like navigation, push async, or like with master details, it's all about swapping out the details or the master page or things of that nature. So there's a lot of things with kind of navigation and such that don't map directly over. There's certain things that we did to make some things still a bit kind of work both places. So for example, if you do navigation.push async in a shell application, or push modal, like that still works. You don't have to register routes, but you can like push a content page or anything like that, and shell is able to understand what that means. So it's able to kind of intercept the navigation. But once you kind of get more complex applications, it might be a little bit trickier to switch over, just kind of based on how much forms customization you've done. Like if you have tons of, say, custom renderers customizing your tab page or your master details, then like that's not going to map over quite as well. But like if you have an app that's a fairly basic master details page or tab page, like that's just your structure with not a lot of custom renderers, then you wouldn't have too much of an issue. But we haven't really like structured a navigation path, let's say, or recommended shell as saying, hey, the messaging hasn't really been, hey, convert your existing apps to shell. It's more, this is kind of what shell does. It might work for what you have built. It should be what you start all your new apps with. So that's the largest part of the messaging, is that any new apps should start with shell. And if you're not able to do what you need to, and you have to switch out of shell, then those are the scenarios we really want to know about. Because we want, the goal is to make it so all the other, the old style pages are basically not actually obsoleted, but that they can mostly be obsoleted, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I have figured out, with a little help from my friends on the internet, how to dynamically add to the flyout, which is great that you can do that. What I haven't figured out, which is probably much simpler, is when I get to a page using the flyout, and I want to, by the time I get to that page, I want it to be populated with data, you know, for example, out of a database or whatever. So I want when you obviously this must be possible, that when you tap on the flyout item, it brings you to a page that's not static, but is dynamically populated. Is that something that can be done right now with Shell?
Yeah. I mean, I think I follow. So yeah. I mean,
let me give you an example, which is, we'll go back to our bear. I tap on bear, and it turns out that I have a database of bear facts. So rather than having it go to a page that's already got all the text on it, I want to go to a page and reach out to the database and bring in the data I want and then show that page.
Okay. Let's see. So are you saying then that you would kind of be, where in the life cycle would you be kind of pulling in that data? So you'd want to kind of pull in the bear data prior to navigating?
I think actually on navigation is what would have to happen for what I'm trying to do. That what you would tap on bear, what you want to end up with is you tap on bear and you get to a page that's filled with bear information. But it's not like that was all laid out in XAML with all the text. But instead it's bound to data that's coming from somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess it just kind of depends how you want to, the timing on everything. So my default thinking there is that, you know, once you've navigated to bear, so there's a bunch of lifecycle events also. We've tied into all the lifecycle events. So what, you know, on the bear page and on appearing is sort of where you would trigger the load of the data. And then whether that data is present or not kind of just depends on the latency of the request, right. kind of pulling that information into the page. And then if you wanted something to be a bit more, I mean, that's one of those interesting scenarios, how you want to do your data loading. So, you know, if you wanted to maybe be a bit more, clever, I don't know if clever is the right word, but with what you could do is, you know, if you have kind of your repository of your bear data, you know, you might kick off the load of that data before the navigation and then do the navigation, but then your page you're navigating to kind of ties back to that same repository source. So then that sort of lets you kind of kick off that background task of the data loading as early in the cycle as possible. And then that kind of gets marshaled off to the background while the navigation is happening. So that would strike me as kind of your quickest way of making sure that the call gets kicked off. There's other sort of hooks you could do. So Shell also has like a navigating event that you could look at, but that's going to be a little more generalized. So that would probably get sort of messy as far as knowing what data aspects to load. But yeah, so that would kind of be my, I think a lot of that kind of has to do with how you architect your data tier.
Got it. Yeah. Let me pop you up for a minute, metaphorically, and ask you what else I should know about Shell. What else should we discuss that we haven't touched on in terms of the strength of Shell and the things you can do with it?
Yeah. Let's see. So I would say some of the new features we've been adding, especially in 4.5, we recently added modal behavior. So kind of letting you sort of push modals as more of like a part of Shell. So before 4.5, if you wanted to push a modal page, you would just have to do like navigation.pushmodal, which would kind of push it the same way as your older apps. But now what you can do is on a page, so one star you might do is like an about page, let's say, or like a login page. So on that about page, you would indicate that, okay, this about page is a modal. So you go up on the content page, you type like shell.modalBehavior equals animated modal. And then at that point, anytime that page is navigated to, it's presented as a modal. So that's just kind of nice because you can register these modal pages, these pages sort of in your global routes. And then from the global routes, once it navigates to it. So it's nice because you can create, I'm just making sure that I'm telling you the track character real quick. But yeah, so then at that point, you can kind of just map out like your whole URI, and then that that can kind of push you through pages and then do like a modal page. So going kind of back to our bear thing, let's say you want the bear habitat to be modal. If you were to just send a URI that was like /bear details/bear nesting/bear habitat, and then bear habitat was marked as modal, then at that point, that would get pushed on modally. So the interesting thing about that too, is that it gives your application a little more context as far as where you are. So some of that stuff is useful for cases of like resuming your application, for example. So one thing you can do is like in shell navigating is always keep track of where your last, what your last URI was. And then like save that to some sort of settings or something of that nature. And then at that point, if the user is resuming their app, you can check your settings to see, okay, where were they last? And then just using that URI, you can say, okay, well, I want you to go to this URI, and that'll sort of restore them back to where they were. So
that's great.
Yeah. And then, so that kind of also plays into, and then that kind of plays into the stuff with like the query string as well, because your presentation mode, okay, we went through a few different API names here. So the actual name of the, of the API for specifying the type of display is called presentation mode. So you go on the content page and you would type like shell.presentation mode, and you indicate whether you want it to be animated, modal, not animated, or like modal, not animated. So then that kind of describes the behavior of your navigating for those pages. So it's neat because you can just, you know, you could easily navigate fairly complex deep linking with a modal page. So that even kind of plays in with app links, you know, like if someone has like an app link that they want to tie in, they can nest pretty deeply with a query string. Which is another reason we've kind of kept things at query strings right now. But yeah, so that's kind of a neat aspect of shell as well.
Okay, my last question, I think, is this. You said earlier, and I certainly understand why, that all new applications ought to be looking at shell, but that if you have a fairly complex legacy app, then it might make sense not to go over to shell. And so that raises the question, obviously you're doing a lot of work on shell and extending its capabilities. Will you still be putting that kind of effort? Should we expect to see new features and so forth on non-shell aspects of Xamarin Forms?
Yeah. So the only area where that's kind of one of those ones where it's sort of mixed and matched. So wherever we can, we kind of mix the behaviors in, because fundamentally shell is built on a lot of the same platform level components as we have that are already kind of implemented on the other platforms. So, you know, it's still a UI navigation controller underneath the hood. It's still fragments under the hood. It's still an app toolbar under the hood. A lot of those things. So a lot of the enhancements we do to shell, we generalize the implementations in such a way that they kind of apply in both scenarios. The only case where that will start kind of falling down is maybe once we start getting some more advanced styling features with shell and things like that. Because the way shell's put together, it kind of lets us move a little faster as far as being able to implement these features. So that's one of those things where it's kind of touch and go how we'll do that. So at this point, we're kind of pushing more of the features first with shell, and then trying really hard to make sure we can apply those to both cases. But we want the velocity on shell to stay strong so that, you know, people can keep using those. And then as shell kind of matures much more, I think it's going to simplify that story of moving your app over to a shell application. So as we expose more, because that's kind of the hope that's kind of the area that we want to get to. We want to be like, okay, well, you have on your tab page or something like that, you have all these custom renderers so that you can add, left toolbar items, or you have all these customizations so you can customize your tab bars and things like that. So the idea is that if we can make it so the idea is making it so shell is super customizable so that it kind of would even eliminate the need for a lot of those renderers, so that if you go over to shell, you're going to get the end experience for you be much greater if that makes sense. So that
it does.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like if you're a serious Xamarin Forms programmer, even if you're not using Shell for your current application, this is something you really want to keep current with, because it sounds like it's very much the future direction for Xamarin Forms.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that we're putting into. So because it's, yeah, pretty much. So I mean, we're still making sure the other stuff works. We're not ignoring it, and that I don't want to say that we're not obsoleting any of it. It's still there. You know, we're still fixing bugs, and we're still any areas where we can kind of make a change to an API that will exist both places, we're doing, so that they kind of apply in both cases. But we don't want to. So kind of an example of this, let's say, is like, for example, on Shell, we don't really support nesting non-Shell pages into Shell. So like we don't really say that we support putting like nesting like a master details page or a tab page inside Shell, because we don't want we want Shell to just kind of be Shell, if that makes sense. So that Shell can achieve all the design ideas that you need with those other pages.
Well, what I need to do then is to go to my boss and explain to him that rather than supporting what we have, we need a new greenfield project so we can use Shell.
It was only that easy.
Well, I do want to thank you. This was great. This was a true in-depth discussion about Shell. I feel like I learned a lot, and I really appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, definitely. My pleasure. It's always exciting to talk about this stuff. So, I just want to highlight kind of the project board. With the Shell project board, is we're going to keep that up to date with like the high priority items that we're working on. So if anybody wants to have kind of opinions on those or shape what we have on there, kind of let us know, because that's the biggest way we know what features people are really wanting and what things to kind of prioritize different areas. And that's kind of where we'll get with it. So like right now, the high priority items we know are, of course, anything that's causing crashers, which we really don't have very many or any of those right now. And then the other things we're looking at are customizations of the flyout. So better customizations of like the text and the images, and then also being able to just switch out the entire flyout with whatever you want. And then we're also looking at more customizations along like your tabs and things. So that's kind of our big focus right now, is being able to just super customize anything on your layout. So the master button kind of plays into that. And then the other nice thing about Shell is that it kind of lets us play into evolving scenarios. So for example, the new dual screen devices, we have some plans with Shell where Shell will just kind of adapt to those paradigms naturally, if you kind of use the dual screen libraries. So there's things like that, because the entire idea of Shell is that you're kind of saying you're creating sort of a declarative structure of what you want your app to be, and then we can kind of interpret that the best with sort of opinionated defaults that you can then kind of shift. So Shell's kind of letting us pivot in that way more easily. So yeah, and then always reach out to me if you have questions about Shell. I'm on Twitter, Shane Neuville. And then yeah, just any comments on the items on the Shell issue board and things like that to kind of help us steer where it goes. If you start a greenfield application with Shell and you have to abandon it, please let us know about those scenarios.
Sounds great. We'll put a link to the board and to a starter page on Shell, and we'll put your Twitter if you like, and any other links that you think are important for us to have. We'll certainly put a link to the Xaminals project as well.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, thanks a lot, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Jesse.